Okay, we're back. Isn't it great when you take breaks on the podcast and literally we're the only one that takes the break? Nothing actually happens.
Yeah.
I just say hang on and then literally about half a second later, I'm like, we're back.
Yeah.
Terrific. Gotta love
podcast
breaks.
Well, they don't have to
breaks.
Wait through annoying commercials.
We don't do annoying commercials.
But we do.
But we do have sponsors.
Yes.
And one of them is here today. Look, what a fucking segue. That was unbelievable. That was like the greatest thing we've ever done. Dr. Pinneger is with us. Thanks for coming in, first of all.
Thanks very much.
From Crivetti really Orthopedics. Vegas Sports Doc on Twitter. It's VegasSportsDoc.com's a thing, right?
You better believe it.
You better believe it. I go there every day. First of all, let's just get all the specifics out of the way. Who are you?
So I'm an orthopedic surgeon here in Henderson, Nevada. Huge Golden Knights fan. And I trained with James Andrews, who is, those of you who are in the sports medicine world know.
The elbow guy.
He's the elbow guy,
Tommy
shoulder
John,
guy.
Right?
Tommy, yep. He's one of the godfathers of sports medicine. There's a lot of great surgeons, and anytime great sports medicine surgeons are mentioned, you better believe his name's in there. And I spent a year of extra time working and learning with him, and from there came to Vegas to bring my expertise and my very outstanding opinions to you guys.
And you, to make it very clear, you do not work for the Golden Knights.
Nope. Had
you
I
work
worked
for
the,
us.
Exactly. I work strictly for you. and no, I mean, I'm not communicating with their physicians. I mean, this is, there's so many things that go into play when we're talking about privacy of athletes and privacy of these patients. And of course, I mean, I don't have that insider information. I didn't come to bring that. I came to bring my expertise and knowledge of sports injuries, of treatments, of rehabilitation, so that I can share that with you guys. And now I'm not in the tunnel. I'm not checking them out and then giving you guys side notes. It'd be fun if I was.
That would be great. What we're trying to do, our goal is simple. Our goal with you is to try to make it so that upper body injury is not how we end our reporting.
Right.
That's
right?
What we care about most. We can't stand
that. Okay, well, let's start with that. What are the most...
I mean, how did that ever
God,
become
that's
a thing,
so
right?
Stupid.
He has a lower body injury. I mean,
I still don't know
big
what
big area of...
What is a hand?
Upper
right?
body.
It's an upper body, right?
You ever put your hands down to your side?
Yeah, but
shit's
I think...
Shit's on the lower body now.
You split your body in half, you know, like the hands were up, well, the legs are down.
When did I split your body in half? When your hands were up or down?
Well, let's start with that. Upper body. What are the most common upper body injuries that a hockey player or a hockey team would see?
So these guys are taking shots on the top of the shoulder. They're spraining their AC joint, which is the joint where the collarbone and the shoulder blade come together. They're, of course, getting hit and hitting into other opponents, the boards, sticks, and so there's contusions or bruises that happen anywhere up and down. But the common ones for these guys are getting tangled with somebody, having a ligament sprain, or hitting something hard against a wall. And when they hit something hard against the wall, you can the most common, you're going to hit that AC joint, that acromioclavicular collarbone joint.
That is a big word.
Right. And there you go. So that's why I came. I came to give you
that
big
again.
Healing for that. For that. Sorry. What was
say that word again?
Acromioclavicular.
Isn't that a band you like?
Yeah. Gotta yeah.
Be. Chromio is his
long
favorite
is
band.
How healing? These guys play. Chromio's great.
Chromioclavicular. Nailed it. Keep
yeah,
going.
Well, I still don't even know how to say it or spell it, so I'm not even going to try.
I don't like your band.
AC. Go with AC.
AC
you
joint.
Got it. There
so
you
these
go.
Guys play every other night, if not every two, you know, 3 days. Mm-hmm. How are these things going to heal? Like, how quickly...
And it all depends on how severe. I mean, the big important thing and what we'll try to shed light on as we go, if we can get access to any true data,
we'll do
right?
our best.
you camouflage yourself as one of those ice skaters in the middle. You clean
oh,
it up
yeah.
snow and then
oh,
you go
yeah.
find out. Okay? So with that, the more detail we have on what happened, the easier it is to predict what the recovery. I mean, a collarbone sprain like that, you can be talking about how there's no risk to return to play the same game. If it's a super, super mild version. Otherwise, you're talking surgery. You're out for 3 months. It really depends.
So let's get into Golden Knights injuries because, unfortunately, there are plenty of them 3 games into the season already.
Yeah. Two upper body, one lower body.
We'll start with the one that I think we – I don't necessarily know that we have the most information of because the team has still claimed it is a lower body injury week to week. But the more that we've put things together, we've spoken to people, we know some people, we have sources that tell us things. The Nate Schmidt injury, it's clearly knee on knee. Like, first off, when you first saw it, Mm-hmm. What are the things that you think are possible? Because I think most of us idiots watching,
he's out for the season. That's it.
Yeah, like ACL, yeah. career ending, that's it. Good night. And I think a lot of people immediately thought that. Was that your initial thought when you saw it?
No, it wasn't. An injury to the outside, and we say valgus, what that means is someone hit him on the outside of the knee, the inside of the knee gets stretched. So you hope that's a bruise where he got hit on the outside and a stretch of the ligament on the inside. That's the simplest version that can happen. But if that bends far enough, you start to begin to tear more things. The farther you bend, the more you tear. But his didn't look like it bent too far, and that's all we got to go off, right?
So a lot of the Twitter doctors like to start talking about how much weight was on the knee when he did it. Like, is any of that legitimate?
It is. If your foot's planted and can't move and you get hit in the outside, now the knee absorbs the whole force, right? Because there's no – the other end of the bone down low can't give. And so if the knee's floating, if your knee's elevated like you're – if his leg was up, wasn't planted, now the foot moves with it. So you get a milder injury. So when we looked at that on the video, you're seeing that the skate was a little bit in contact with the ground, but not like he had fully planted
not
the skate.
Not fully in the ground where it would have been awful.
It's been a concern that maybe it's a reoccurring injury or he's had that injury before. How much would that, even if it was a lighter contusion or something like that, how much would that aid to his healing process?
And one important thing, we talked about upper body injuries. One of the common ones is when the collarbone. Lower body injuries, one of the most common we see in hockey players is their stance, the way they're positioned, they get hit on the outside. An MCL or a medial collateral ligament injury, super common. And a mild sprain can become a little bit chronic and continue to nag a person for a while if it keeps getting hit. And I mean, under their pads, a lot of these guys, they're gonna have a brace on, they're gonna have some support because they can protect it and be covered with those pads. But if that gets sprained, it's more likely to be sprained again in the upcoming couple of games.
So he was taken from the arena to get an MRI. That's the words. That's the letters. We don't know what happened with the MRI, but what we do know is the following day when we did talk to Gallant, it was brought up like, hey, you were without him for 20 games last year. And he kind of immediately almost scoffed at that, saying, oh, I hope hopefully we're not out for 20 games this year. Yeah. So my thought immediately is, well, probably not talking about it. We're definitely not talking about an ACL tear.
Oh, no.
We're definitely not I would assume there's no tear there. So I think when we tweeted it out, you said it may very well just be a bone bruise.
Mm-hmm.
How long is a bone bruise out?
So bone bruise is act like broken bones, but nothing's shifted out of position. So bone contusion, bone bruise, stress fracture, a lot of those come from orthopedic standpoint in the same umbrella of injuries. But they nag people for a long time. They're sore, but he can get out and play.
It hurts.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts but like they crazy. Can't make it worse.
Does it?
No, it's usually very stable, very safe of an injury. But as long as strength, range of motion's back, go for it.
So do they? So you would make the argument they literally do not know when he would be ready because they don't know what the pain management is.
They probably don't yet. So when with that type of injury, bruise on the outside, stretch on the inside, you're suspecting, and if he had, we kind of know that certain things haven't happened because of what you said. Either they'd call him out, put him on an injured list, or he'd have already had surgery.
Right.
So we can already pretty much count that meniscus not involved.
Didn't happen.
ACL, no way involved. But the MCL and the bruise could be any level of severity, but probably a mild to moderate sprain. And you're talking 4 to 6 weeks, should be back, no problem.
Would his knee be swollen? Like, would he be able – so he – realistically, if he is walking, it would be on some sort of walking boot or something?
We put a brace on him to keep the knee straight, basically to support that side-to-side motion. And there's a hinge that can be put on it as soon as that becomes a little safer. So
a defenseman with a swollen knee or whatever probably can't move and probably can't play. So, like you said, 4 to 6 weeks.
He's definitely not playing.
Yeah. Well, like you said, 4 to 6 weeks, it's,
I think the big question is when would it be realistic to think that he might get back on the ice if that were to be the injury?
So the mildest of those injuries, you could be back in 3 to 4 weeks.
All right.
But if it's in that moderate range, he should still be back within six.
So if you were to see him on the ice within, like, let's say it's 2 weeks from now, so 3 weeks from the injury, we pretty much can rule out any tear at all, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, obviously we need to see him. We need to see him. That
and prove it, right?
I think the biggest thing, that the reason we ask all these questions is because we're never going to know what it is. And even when they come back, we're still never going to know. I learned things about guys 2 years ago. Like I heard something about Perron recently of what happened to him the first year that I don't really need to share. I don't really care. But it's interesting to me how then we find these out later. Yeah. And the Golden Knights have a long habit. I just think that the more we have the idea of, okay, if he comes back at this point, that means it would be, if it were to be that and we were to see him within 3 months, we're fairly certain this is not something that should be reoccurring, right?
Yep.
That's good. Yep. That's definitely a good thing.
What is, for a player, would an ankle be more of a concern?
But ankles don't happen too much in hockey because their ankle's so stiff and supported, you know?
Right. So when you have – so on a foot injury, okay, maybe I should go that way. What would be the most common foot injuries, and what are those healing process?
So the most common foot injuries, you're going to see people taking a puck to the foot or the ankle. So, I mean, the skate is pretty padded and protected, but when someone rifles that puck, and if your foot's in the way,
shield sometimes.
You see those guys go down, they are hurting. And you can create a fracture in the bone with just the impact of that. So, if it's a twist or a sprain, different story than if the puck hits the ankle bone with enough force to create bone bruising. Then that hurts like crazy. And it's mostly just, okay, well, you're going to hurt. And as soon as you hurt a little enough amount that you can play, go for it. That kind of becomes what it is.
The reason why I keep asking the most common is because now we can start, when they give us these phrases, we can say, all right, well
we're going to have a video on most of them. It's not like obviously Cody Eakins is the one we kind of have to skip because he hit two different players. He delivered both hits. One of them happened off the camera, and we literally have no idea what that one is. I mean, you've watched both hits. We have no clue, right?
Yep.
And that's going to happen from time to time. Then there's Tucks. So Tuck in the preseason
game.
We've
seen Eakin walk. We've seen
him. Well, he skated now.
Yeah, we've seen
him skate. I think, I mean, they pretty quickly said that one wasn't going to be horrible. And if it's a week, whatever. I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
It's the ones that are months and that can then linger into 3 months, 4 months, season ending. Like a Hollas. I think we all looked at Hollas and we're pretty much immediate. We'll get to Hollas in a second. Let's go back to Tucks. So Tuck, in that second to last preseason game, I thought originally maybe something had happened when he kind of got hooked, and maybe that, and that was on his left side, and then he goes hard into the boards on the right side. They immediately said week to week, they said they ruled him out for the beginning of the season. We now know through a number of different people telling us in different scenarios, it is either a hand or a wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that it's week to week, it doesn't seem to be a finger. People have seen his fingers and told me there's nothing on his fingers, so it seems to not be a finger. So if I can rule out a finger and I think it's a hand or a wrist, what are the types of things that could have happened to his hand or his wrist slamming into the boards with big, huge gloves on?
With huge gloves on, right? So the common things are, again, back to bruises or sprains.
And that should be nothing, right?
But they hurt like crazy, and if you have no ability to take your slap shot or to use your hand or wrist because it hurts too bad when you
can't
make
grip
the grip, then you know they're going to hold you out.
And for a shooter, it'd be much more. So maybe a defenseman can play on that.
Can't grip his hand. If you can't grip the stick, you're useless.
Right.
Yeah. But there's so much they can do, I mean, to tape up an injury, to pad an injury. But if it's, you know, if it's too painful to perform your job, then they're gonna sit you and they're gonna say, all right, week to week.
But if it's grip,
you're just waiting for it to be less sore.
Right. But if it's grip, they're probably not gonna say week to week immediately, right? Because that might get better at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So odds are there's something wrong.
Yeah.
There's a billion bones in our hand, isn't there?
There's a lot. You're right. And with an injury like that, and with the way they've considered him week to week, you're assuming that this is in the long bones of the central part of the hand, what are called the metacarpals, or if it's into the wrist and he's impacted the wrist hard enough where it created, again, a bone bruise or a stress fracture through that wrist, then Same story. I mean, there's no – those injuries don't have to be operated on right away. They don't have to be braced very heavily, and that's why, you know, like you said, he, you know, keep a hand in a pocket.
People have – people have – he was – in. And again, this it's always interesting where we have to take our info from. And
right.
It's
yeah,
just the,
right.
The way the organization deals with their injuries, which is part of the reason why it's nice that we have your opinions. Is
but it's pretty obvious when everybody – who's in a pod with him.
Yeah, his hand is in his pocket.
With his left
he,
hand,
won't, he won't.
You know.
And again, he wouldn't shake hands. He wouldn't sign autographs. The question to me then becomes surgery or no surgery. If he were to have had a broken bone in his hand and there were to be a surgery, how long would that be?
That can you're waiting 4 or 5 weeks for the bone to get enough healing to feel stable and trustworthy
and
enough.
Then
you're going for it.
Oh, and then you're good.
Yeah. So eventually,
so
you would need surgery. Maybe
no.
At,
we're,
in
I'm
the
saying
off-season?
We're just guessing if there were surgery or not. Say he did have the surgery.
So just quickly,
we're
had
talking.
The surgery. Okay.
We're talking 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks. If he did not have the surgery, is it similar?
It's pretty similar. Yeah. It means that the injury was light enough that it didn't require it, and time frame for healing is pretty similar.
And a wrist for a guy like Tuck, I mean, he uses his hands and his wrist so much. He flips the puck. He uses wrist in snapshots a lot. So it's got to be wrist. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, my guess would be more hand, but...
You think?
I mean...
I'll be the tiebreaker.
Which
what
is?
Do you think?
I'll say it's the wrist.
Okay.
Ooh.
So I got the smart doctor
what's,
on my
what's
side.
The worst, what's worst case scenario with a wrist injury?
Worst case scenario is he can't recover from it, and then later on they have to then make the decision to operate where they were trying not to at first.
In which case then he...
Then at about 6 weeks you're making the call, crap, this is not better, let's go fix it.
So would the... So,
hopefully it's not that.
And then, yeah, and then that's the season probably at that point. I mean, at that
broken
point...
Broken wrist is the year?
Well, if you've already waited 6 weeks and then you have a surgery and then you have to rehab the surgery, yeah. that then you really string things out. But... They consider all that when they're looking at how quick can we get him back to play? What's our odds of getting back to play? Athletes make so much money they can't intentionally just drag it out.
If he had the surgery for a broken wrist, is he attending a thing at the High Roller seven days later?
You'd see bandages. You'd see he's wearing a splint. He's keeping it protected.
So he probably didn't happen.
I wouldn't think so.
Right. This is the situation we're in. We have to guess. My thought, a lot of the times, because we've seen
and they wouldn't say week to week, because if you have surgery, you have a definitive, at least 4 or 5 weeks. You know,
so I mean, they're calling month to month. Yeah,
yeah. They would change it at that point.
So you'd immediately know that, okay, something big enough happened where we're guaranteed to take longer.
So let's go back to Eric Halla, because that's the one that I think everybody kind of – it was the first real major one throughout the entire first season. They didn't have anybody that really was out for any massive length of time. When Eric Halla got hurt, it looked horrific, like horrific.
Well, they
took him out on the stretcher.
Horrific.
It looked terrible. It ends up – the next day, they basically say nothing day to day that they didn't know. They then said that they were going to keep him on the road trip, which to me was weird. First off, understanding now that he was out for 6 months, it might have been 7 or 8 or 9, why would they keep him with the team for 5 days and have him get on the airplane twice? What could have possibly been going on in his knee that they're like, whatever, we'll do it later?
It's probably access to the MRI machine. I don't know if they were able to get an MRI right off the bat. And if they thought that, hey, this is maybe, again, bruise, contusion. I mean, if they take him out on a stretcher, they're assuming it's worse.
It's pretty bad.
But most of the time, they've got access to an X-ray machine very quickly.
In the arena, usually, right? Yeah.
Or across the street, you know. Yeah. I mean, they got it somewhere very close. And X-ray's negative right off the bat. That tells you, okay, let's give this a day. Let's check on it. Unless there's something when they examine him in that tunnel or in that underneath, whether or not that ligament feels grossly unstable.
Yeah.
They move it with your fingers, right? Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, you manipulate the leg, and sometimes you're like, yeah, you're gross. Not playing, and you know, like, there's no chance. But if it's a simpler injury, and we know now a little bit about what he had done, if you move that kneecap, and if it's a kneecap dislocation, and if it's shifted side to side, some of those heal okay. If you dislocate your patella, if you injure some of the cartilage, you know, if as long as that feels stable, you can brace it. A lot of people don't have to have surgery.
Did he
for that
say? Roughly. I didn't. I know you did a little research.
I did a little research on my own there, and one of the things that you might find are your best sources. See if they got a family member posting something on Twitter. See if they got something. If they say, hey, you know, yeah, so and so just had a great recovery. He went to Colorado, had surgery.
Yeah,
and got
this was the fiance. I guarantee it was the fiance.
And I didn't check.
They're married now.
Who I read the report from, but it sounded like he went to Colorado, had surgery to fix a kneecap dislocation. That was what I gathered.
That's what I thought it was, because he was losing his shit when it happened. And if your kneecap isn't on top of your knee, I'm also losing my shit.
So how it must have been on the scale of, because you were saying that some of them heal and mm-hmm. he can get back on the ice. So yeah. That one, they must have known.
Well, if they take an X-ray,
quickly,
if you take an X-ray and if there's no broken chunk off the bone, when you dislocate your kneecap, sometimes the ligament stretches across, pops right back, bone's fine, cartilage yeah. fine, ligament slightly stretched, going to heal okay. Doesn't have to have surgery right away. Huh. Then you go take an MRI once you get back to where you have, you know, your routine, your access, your doctor.
And nothing's going to change in that five day period.
It's going to be so swollen, you're probably not going to do surgery that day or the next day anyway. So you wrap them up, you bandage them up, you keep them, you do some therapy there.
Put them in some tight pants and put
exactly,
them on TV.
Right?
That picture.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
you're
my
glad
God.
I didn't.
He was wearing, like, the tightest pants, and, like, women are just exploding all over their television.
There's
that was
an
graphic.
Eric Collins
that was
graphic. Facebook group.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But so my thought immediately when I heard that, I'm like, well, okay, this team's hopefully playing into June. Like, we can't be wasting 5 days here.
Yeah.
And now we get to a point where they said he was 2 weeks away. God damn it.
But it's probably best. You're saying it's best to keep them around their trainers, their people.
You're more saying it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, at that point, you've got time to work with. You're in most circumstances like that, you don't read about people going to the operating room the next day or the day after unless there's a broken bone that needs to be put back together now. I mean, a broken bone poking out of the skin, that's going Jeez. Right away. So there's things that have to be right now.
So when you
but
hear a quick surgery, that means that guy's probably coming back.
Oh, if they go right away?
Yeah, you know, like sometimes you hear an athlete, like he gets hurt, then the next day he got the surgery done. There's a good chance that player's coming back that season.
Yeah, a lot of them can get done, especially with how long the hockey season goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it depends where we're at in the season and where it is, but a lot of those sure can.
So after it happening, so now it happens, he goes to Denver, he has the surgery. I don't know why Denver. No, unimportant. Now he's not on our team anymore. But so he goes to Denver. He has the surgery.
It's
he goes
be an
through.
Expert out there,
he's,
right?
There's some good docs.
He's
yeah,
X amount of days away. Whatever bullshit call. They don't make it. He doesn't get back. He yells at me for calling myself selfish in his question. Long story short, onwards and upwards. So then we get to end of June. How confident should the Golden Knights doctors, understanding now they've had all the information the whole way, how confident should they be that he's either going to return 100% to Eric Halla of old, or maybe he's not? How much knowledge should they have in that situation?
It's all based on studies, right? And all our studies in orthopedics, they tell us, the average return to play is about this long, and the average return to high level of play is about this percent. So there's good numbers to gauge it off, but it's super hard to tell which guy is on the good percent side and which guy is on the bad percent side. Because, you know, every professional athlete is an amazing specimen, yes. right? But for most injuries, there's about 10% of those guys that, despite how great their DNA is,
just doesn't happen.
It's just not going to happen.
So yeah. So you think it's perfectly fair for them to be sitting there in the summer saying, we've got 1 year left on his contract, his knee's banged up.
It's a risk either way.
Let's
mm-hmm. trade
let's,
him or you don't
let's
trade
move.
Him.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Like it's perfectly fair. Because I think when we had Foley in here last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever that was, and it sounded like he was kind of broken up over it. And I think now looking back, we've now seen him play 3 or 4 games. He's got 3 or 4 goals, whatever it is. He's doing well. Mm-hmm. Seems to be good. I think it's fairly easy to look back and say, well, probably shouldn't have done that. But I think you're saying at the time it was perfectly fair saying, I don't know. Let's cash in now.
Yep. All you can base it on is in his testing and his trials in your therapy clinic, How strong does he look? How stable does he feel? Is he swollen? How long of a workout can he tolerate? And you're
guessing.
It's like us looking at videos and guessing what we're dealing with.
I mean, because that, I think that makes it, or at least that should, to me, make it a little bit easier for Golden Knights to stomach, saying, well, even if they have all the information, they have everything, they get to run him through this, we still don't know.
No, not with any 100% degree of assurity. You know, you have a good prediction, and you can say, hey, he had a great surgery, he's stable now, he's strong now, he's got full clearance to play.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where, from a surgeon's standpoint, you say, look, get out there, push it, you have my permission to do whatever you want. And at that point, it's just mentally, can that player do it?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, is that where the 10% lies who can't make it? Is that a lot of mental game there? Saying, you know, I can't trust my knee or trying to favor the other one? Is that where that happens?
It is. There, even 6-8 months into some of these injuries, if you test these guys side by side, they have a percentage of weakness compared to the non-injured side. So they can tell they're not quite 100%. But when you're at 90, You're about as good as we can set you free with.
Interesting. I go back to that deal and I look at it saying,
crap.
A team in the situation that they were in shouldn't be making that deal. Like, Nick Waugh is not as good as Eric Halla at their best. They're just
not even close.
And the money wasn't all that massive. Like, it does, but I think it's at least to me, hearing that saying they don't know. They really don't know. All right, so then the last thing on Eric Halla, he played in this charity softball game. He ran out an inside-the-park home run on his first at-bat. And then he got a single on his next at-bat, and Chance the mascot ran for him. Can we read everybody wanted? I got 30 direct messages. I'm like, guys, I'm fucking here. I see it. Please stop direct messaging me. Is there anything you can take out of him running an inside the park home run, then getting a single and not running the second time?
I think as a smart athlete, if he said, you know, I mean, I don't need to do that. I don't need running around the bases. You're taking a 90-degree cut. If you feel like, you know, that made me a little sore, a smart athlete's going to say, let Chance run.
So that was fair. So that was fair. A fair argument that somebody would say, like, maybe there's something there.
And let's well.
Fair argument.
Is it possible McPhee looked at that? And this is not a question for you. Is it possible McPhee looked at that and said, "Nope, Nick Waugh"?
No, he was trading him before then.
But, I don't know about that.
But here's the thing: what if Eric was like, you know, he's a proud guy. He says, "I'm going to show everybody I'm healthy by running the bases. What else do I need to prove now? So then let Chance run." Do you know what I mean? I think that's more of the more
maybe
likable situation in my eyes. Because he's a very, you know him. You know how.
Oh, he's a,
he wanted to show.
He's got a little bit, he's got a little bit of the prove it mentality type
so
thing.
I think,
he's got a little bit of a, he's a little rough around the edges sometimes. He's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, but like I could see him doing that to kind of prove, like,
of
I'm
course.
Back. I'm fine.
I ran the bit. You all saw me do it. I didn't have a problem. Now I don't need to do it again.
Right.
But
yeah, right.
You're exactly right.
But you could not have Chance run, and then I don't have to get 30 direct messages.
He could have saved you
could
a little bit of headache.
That.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
You just tell him thanks a lot.
That was. Oh, he knows. He never really liked me, which is fine. I actually think they might get him back.
I think that's why he did it. That's why he made Chance run.
That's what it was.
Strictly to get
He's
you
like,
back.
Fuck you. if he goes the entire season healthy, and now he's an unrestricted free agent, how confident would you be 1 year later saying, yes, that happened, it's behind him, he had a whole year?
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, it would take another fluke to get it back.
Like, he would have to almost injure something else for you to be concerned.
Yeah. At that point, that ligament is so strong, that cartilage is healed, he's ready to go. I wouldn't give.
I mean,
a second thought about it.
I don't put it past him.
No,
I really
don't. Off the books, you know, maybe
really
they're
don't.
Able to move Stasny in the offseason.
I mean, Reeves coming off.
Yeah.
Holden's coming off. I think that if they go another season with a situation where they're saying, well, still can't figure out this third line thing, like,
the question is,
nobody
does Eric Halla want to come back to an organization that moved him from a 29-goal score center to the wing And then basically,
and he did it like 6 days before his wedding, and then his wedding, and everybody had to go to his wedding. And
they're human beings, right? And some of these guys remember that shit.
I mean that, like, when it comes to like weddings and this stuff, that like I just don't care. Am I mean? Am I
huge?
Mainly because
about?
I don't think they give a damn about me.
No, well, so why do you care?
Like, I didn't, like, that was, like, the million people's first thought. Like, oh, my God, they traded him and his wedding is down the street. I'm like, oh, tough
narrative.
Shit. He makes $3 million.
Like, cute. That's all.
You know how much money they paid for this wedding?
It
like,
just, it goes to the narrative that McPhee is a cold-hearted general manager or president now. So, you know, it just goes to that.
There you go.
Are you married?
Yeah.
What would your wife have done in the event that 7 days before your wedding, you were told, you had to tell her, you're moving across the country to Carolina? Mine would have stabbed me.
She might have stabbed you. I mean, Carolina, I mean, to be truthful, there's some great vacation spots out there.
Oh,
I mean,
it's amazing. I would move there.
Other than the hurricanes that are going to uproot you now and again, you're in great shape, right?
Yeah, it's not like you're going to Columbus or enough. Winnipeg or something, you know?
Right?
So the Golden Knights.
I offended anybody by those cities.
Winnipeg's awful. The Golden Knights, nothing's worse than St. Louis. I'll stick with that. Jeez. The Golden Knights drafted a player who had his Achilles slit with a skate.
Yeah.
Through a sock.
Which is a little bit more common these days, huh?
Still concerned.
Yeah, I mean, those skates are sharp, man.
Yeah.
You ever
Marshy.
Tried to give one a little try?
Yeah, no thanks.
First game, Marshy had his pants cut.
Really?
Yeah.
First game. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So he took his pants off on the bench.
Eric Karlsson happened to him.
How much excitement did that brew?
For me, a lot. I was thrilled. I got that gif on my phone. Never stopped watching that. But back to Krebs. So it happened to Krebs, I want to say it was like late May, right? And then so the big question for Krebs is not how close is he to playing with the Golden Knights. I really don't think any Golden Knight fan gives a damn if he's going to play with the Winnipeg Ice at all or whenever. I don't think anyone cares. What we care about is the timeline to get him back on the ice for late December to play at World Juniors. He would be one of the better players on Canada. Where should he be now that we're, what is it, October 9th? Where should he be on slit Achilles, surgery right after,
June
supposedly
7th.
A health help, yeah.
Year 7 all the way, October, we're talking July, August, September. I mean, 4 or 5 months later, that repair should be strong.
Should be good.
Because
he's definitely walking around. We see him up there through the window. No one's seen him on
the
ice. I haven't seen him on a bike, but that's behind a tinted window, so I have to guess. Can only tell hairstyles so good.
That's true.
One time I thought a girl was Brandstrom.
Oh,
that happened. The girl was up there and there. I'm like, is that Brandstrom?
Well, she must have lovely hair.
Well, she was the right height, and she had some nice hair. And I was like, is that Brandstrom? And then it wasn't Brandstrom. But do you think it's realistic he plays in that?
Yeah, tail end of the year, I think so.
That would be terrific. Because, hopefully, he comes back fully strong enough. I mean, that's got to be a lot of mental, right?
Yeah, and it's a lot of... All of these injuries, the trick is, of course, the inflammation and the swelling and the pain from after. I mean, have the stitches healed? Has the skin healed? You better believe it.
He's good.
Part's good. Now it's just building the strength back because of how much atrophy a big muscle takes if you don't use it for a little while, and feeling strong and prepared to protect yourself and ready to go.
I don't even like touching my Achilles. Like, sometimes I'll just touch it, like doing it. It's awful.
You don't like it.
I can't imagine...
Taking a knife to
any sort of injury, like, let alone a knife to it, but like just touching it, like I don't like that.
I'm looking at Eric.
I don't
Carlson
even want to think about it.
When he had his done,
some of them were quick. Like I remember, we were looking him up.
After
Sagan's was real quick. Carlson's was quick.
It seems to be what five months,
and we're fairly confident that should be.
It should
no
be
lingering effects.
Yeah. No, I mean that's high. The most common area to injure your Achilles is way down by the heel. You have a skate on. Think how high that protects you. It's not like this skate went through the boot, then through the lower part of the Achilles. So this was up high.
So if you're listening to this, poke your lower Achilles and see how much that hurts, and then poke your upper Achilles and see how much that hurts.
It's way less.
Way less.
You're welcome.
So much less.
Let's get
so
into the super high speculation now.
What's going on with my foot?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
William Karlsson.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot about him. So the news on William Karlsson, if you're listening this far into the podcast, you heard us yapping about it earlier, but he's not taking faceoffs anymore.
And he's not shooting really much.
I wouldn't read into that one because he doesn't always shoot that often anyway. Let's just focus on faceoffs because we now
and
know.
And he specifically told.
We now know, quote, something is going on.
He's working through issues or something.
He has a body injury.
Direct quote. What in the world could that be?
Yeah. It leaves it very vague.
Yeah.
Not a lot to work with. But
his skating motion's fine. He's able to go up and down the ice, play defense, play offense. But the one thing where he's not doing is face-offs.
Taking draws. But he's playing.
Yeah. So arms, wrists, hands, fingers?
I'd worry first and foremost about, grip, hand, wrist. I mean, that's where he's going to be fighting the most and where you're going to have the most contact at that exact moment. It's aggressive, and otherwise you can avoid certain things a little more. You know what I mean?
So you could still play, because we were talking, if he is injured, he can't take faceoffs. That means you don't have 100% William Karlsson. Maybe you should sit him.
Well, I think the argument more so is, with whatever the injury is, how many injuries are there that could, I mean, just anything that has to do with a faceoff, how many of them would you be comfortable saying, I'm fine with you playing hockey, but not taking a draw? Is there any injury that falls under that?
None that
it's
I can
weird.
Think of. Yeah.
Now,
like, shouldn't, to me, any injury that it is, the best thing to be doing is not playing hockey.
So, right. Logan Couture,
to let it rest, to let it go, yeah.
Was told he can't take faceoffs, but he played. He broke his finger when he was blocking a shot.
This was in the playoffs, though, right?
Yeah.
Now,
okay,
huge
you're
difference.
Right. You're right.
Like, they're make millions of dollars. Foley told him he owes him 3 cups. Like, I get it from that point. What I don't understand is how we go from him getting injured to trying in a preseason game and not taking draws to then playing on opening night and still not taking draws. Hasn't missed a practice that I know of.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything
I know
that you could think of that you would say, like, as long as there's not, like, say it's impact. Is there anything that impact is the only way that it's going to hurt it? Because that is possible. Somebody in a draw, they whack you across the hands or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Bruises, like, I can't even imagine anything. Like, I can't even think of anything.
Nothing comes to mind to say, oh, if you had one of those, I'll let you play, I'll let you do anything you want, but don't you dare get in the face-off.
Yeah.
I can't think of one. But, I mean, like you're describing with Couture, I mean, a finger fracture or a strained tendon in the hand or finger, that would be under more stress right in that aggressive moment, but you're going to run into similar moments
right.
as a player. I mean, what about when you're against the board and you're trying to bring a puck
right,
out?
So
and it's,
if you're always playing, how like what's the healing time on that?
It's not.
So you're saying he's always going to be
right?
Injured?
It wouldn't, right?
Things will still heal when you're putting them under constant stress, but they just heal slower.
Well, so the question
then
is,
I don't feel as bad.
Well, but the question is when Eakin comes back, maybe there's an opportunity to get him some games off, put him on the injured list for a little bit.
They're not going to bench him.
I'm not saying bench him.
If he was hurt, he would have never played in the preseason game.
But now you can say,
if it was even a remote thought that we might need to sit him out of a regular season game, he wouldn't have played in the preseason game.
And they did.
He wouldn't have done it. So therefore, to me, I think part of it has to do with the Iron Man thing. He's played every game in Golden Knights history. And I think that matters.
I think it does to him, yeah.
I think it's dumb. It's so stupid. But again, I get it. Like, yeah, we say that about him. And you look at William Karlsson and you don't think Iron Man when you see him. So it's kind of cool
though,
that he
when
has
you're
it.
Available every game.
But
that's really impressive.
I guess the main concern is how long is it going to linger?
Without knowing.
Potentially indefinitely.
Right.
If it's lasted for any amount of time, if you keep playing on it and don't rest it and don't treat it, it could last the rest of the time.
Oof.
And again, that you don't have 100% William Karlsson if he's not taking faceoffs.
But he's playing great. Like that's the thing. It's like he's playing great. He's been awesome in all 3 games. He was good in the preseason game. Like I don't see anything watching his game outside of the fact that he has had 9 opportunities to score and didn't. But That's hockey.
Like, yeah, but also
Ryan Reeves has had 1,000.
But he's not having. He might not have his full strength on his shot. He might not have his full movement. You know, to deep.
Yeah, I don't understand where that conversation goes. That it's like, you know what? Let's not take draws, but still play, but not take draws in fucking October.
Yeah. Well, I think the Iron Man, and I think he's probably sitting there going, I can probably play through this, and over time it'll get better. But like you said, I mean,
and for those not in the room, Dr. Pinniger just shakes his head.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
This kind of sounds right over there. It's just, it's weird. It's an 82 game season. I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, we'll consider also if he's practicing and if he feels fantastic other than when he takes a face-off, and if he says, ah, shoot, that just, for some reason, that's hurting, they'd just say, great, stay out there, but don't take a face-off. We'll have somebody else do it.
Hmm.
Because if that happens to be the only time where he gets in and deep hard enough and that bugs him, and if otherwise, if they say, does anything else hurt, and he says, no, it is only the face-off, then they would just grant him that. They would say, great, then
stay away from the face-off for 2 to 3 weeks, and then hopefully whatever that ailment is will be ready for you to take face-offs in a couple.
Exactly. If he's still playing and feeling great otherwise, then you would expect that to resolve and him to be back in full strength ready.
This sounds like a situation like my dog. He refuses to go up the stairs if I'm there, but if I'm not there, he goes up the stairs no problem.
That's really weird.
Curse these dogs,
right? He's just relying on me. That's all it is. William Karlsson wants to play, so he's just making some shit up. That there's nothing wrong with him. I don't know. I don't get it. He's sick of losing face-offs.
I'm gonna throw a curveball here.
Oh boy.
I know you're not a neurologist, and
this
so
is gonna
but
be
what
bad.
Do you look when?
This has, yeah,
okay,
I'm wondering.
Be bad.
The concussion protocol in hockey, does it sort of bug you like it bugs the normal fan? Because they see somebody a big hit. Ahead, somebody kind of wobble getting up, and the play just keeps continuing. Is that, are we just being really sensitive, kind of, you know, love our players, or is there really kind of a slippery slope with their protocol?
Concussion protocols have just, they've gotten so much more aggressive in all sports as of recent, just
which
because
is good,
it is good, because we're finding so many athletes develop, they call it chronic encephalopathy, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And it means that later on in your life, you have brain damage because you ignored the concussion early. And the suicide rates are high, and people having psychotic episodes are high. And so it jacks their life long term if it's not treated pretty aggressive. So, I mean, you see in so many sports now, they won't let the team doctor be the guy to even make the call. They got to see an independent guy who has no affiliation with any team, so it's unbiased. And
which is smart.
And it's true because, I mean, for anybody playing sports, how many times did you lie to your athletic trainer so that you could stay in a game? You take a bell ringer, you get hit, and you're like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And you're like, I can't walk, but I'm totally good.
See, I'm
and
a wuss.
I can play. Yeah, I just can't take face off.
I just, right. I always liked hitting the bench when I was hurt. So.
Yeah, I'm like, my finger.
Can I get a water bottle? Can you put some Gatorade in it, please?
I always hated when I played baseball in the cold, and I would hit one off the nub, jam my fingers. I'm like, nope, I'm done. See ya. Yeah.
But like,
I got a concussion. I'm out.
Yep, I'm done. Yep, concussion spotter.
I ask is because like last night, Novshuk took a hit, right? And I'm sitting there going, why are they not checking on this guy? And then he plays the rest of the game. We see him today. He's fine. So like, is it more of a reactionary thing? Everybody just kind of assumes a big hit creates a concussion?
It is. I mean, in every, I consider in football or in hockey, guy takes a big hit. And oftentimes you're slow to stand up, and it doesn't mean that you have any sort of transient or short-term loss of consciousness. It doesn't mean you have any numbness or tingling in any of your extremities for a short time, and it doesn't mean you got blurry vision, but it just means, whew, that was a tough hit. You pop up, and you keep playing. But you better believe the first time they come off, somebody's checking them.
Yeah.
What do their pupils look like? How their eye movement? Are they moving everything normal? Do they have a headache?
And you could tell that stuff just because you're trained. You could tell that stuff immediately, kind of.
You go through a protocol. There's a quick check that you would do on the side, and if there's any question, then that guy gets flagged.
Well, and then these guys are cheating the quick check, which is that's a whole story in and of itself. It's like they take the pre-test and they purposely fail the pre-test so that they'll pass it when they have a concussion. That That's a whole different topic that guys have just stopped doing.
Going back
doing
to what
that.
You were saying about lying to the athletic director, you know, to make sure.
I mean,
you can play.
It's I get it though. Like, there's a lot of money involved, and
but it's guaranteed money.
Not if you have a two-way contract.
That's true.
But
not in Fleury's situation,
well, yeah,
we
in
all
Fleury's
know they
situation,
that one
sure.
Up the very first.
And hockey's better on that, but like, if it happens to Glass,
yeah,
he's making $925,000 in the NHL. He's making $65,000 or $70,000 in the AHL. Like, good thing I couldn't do math when I had the chance to do math. Like, that's a long story. But either way, did you know the best thing about you not being the doctor for the Golden Knights? Is that you actually get to treat regular people that might actually be listening to this, because God knows there's no Golden Knights listening to this. Because if they did, they would have turned it off hours ago when I shit on every single one of them throughout the course of every single podcast. It's like podcast 190. They're like, fuck you. But that what type of injuries, like, that maybe somebody could have that they haven't, because, like, for me, I never want to go to the doctor because I always think, like, I'm a badass. I'll tough it out.
You better believe it.
What
right?
could be going on that somebody listening to this that you're like, you know what? They should come see you.
The important things to watch are, is a pain not going away? I mean, most of the time your body has a fantastic ability to heal itself, right? You know that if you put too much weight on your overhead press, you push that thing up there, and then the next day you're a little sore, but then a week later you're like, oh.
That. I think that was a gym reference.
Yeah, I think it was. Too.
Right? It's a weightlifting maneuver. You guys would have no idea what I'm talking about. But the most important thing, I mean, anytime you have an injury, or even if you wake up and something is not right, and you say, you know, I gave this 3 days, 4 days, and suddenly if you're at a month, and if that hasn't gone away, you're missing an opportunity to make yourself better faster. You can tough it out as long as you want. There's a strong likelihood is that you're not going to need something surgically, but you sure could need some physical therapy and a little bit of extra side work to get yourself back in your own game faster. And the longer you prevent going to the doctor because he's a total jerk and you don't want to talk to him, you just hurt yourself, you know?
See, I'm the opposite. I go to the doctor pretty much. Anything, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Sprain
so
your pinky.
A couple of years
spilled
ago.
Spilled a soda on
I kept
himself
getting like
once
a...
and went.
By the way, when I played
wet.
Hockey, my only injuries when I played hockey were two broken pinkies.
See, I was talking about pinkies.
Yeah. So
amazing. I guessed
it. And I'll tell you how that's one weird. Happened. One, I got caught up with a shirt. My glove fell off. I got caught up with a shirt. That was some of the most pain I've ever dealt with. Then another thing, I was skating backwards. My stick slammed my glove on the ground. And, you know, I'm a kid. It's kind of a crummy glove as it is. I probably had it for 4 years, so it wasn't too padded. Mm-hmm. So those were my only hockey injuries, were two pinkies. Wow. So I kind of feel wussy.
You need to break something bigger.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, we could make that happen. I got some ideas.
Well, no. So what I'm saying, a couple of years ago, I felt this like continuous like just pinch or something right in my wrist.
Yeah.
And I go see the guy because it was like a month or so, right? And I see the guy and he tells me, he's like, listen, he's like, you use that hand probably way too much. He's like, you probably don't use your left hand at all. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the jerk who likes to bring in every grocery bag all at once because I don't like making two
trips. No sense making two trips. Right?
So I'm sitting there going, and I'm showing him. And so basically he's like, yeah, that. And,
stop
you know,
doing that.
Picking up your kid and all that stuff. But you realize how little you use this hand.
Yeah.
So after like 2 months of just strictly using this hand, this kind of went away. And now it feels great.
Yep.
So I think, like you were saying, you don't – why wait?
What's the percentage? What's the percentage of people that come in with something of that sort that it then does actually end up being fairly serious and like, whoa, good thing you came in?
To be truthful, not as often. I mean, the quantity of new patients you see in your office that are here for the first time that you actually take to the operating room, you hope it's not a huge percent because then people are coming in late. They're not getting the right amount of care early. But the majority of people that come in, we're not taking them straight to the OR. We're not coming at them with a knife and be like, I'm so glad you're here. we're trying to find a way to keep them on the field, right, in their game, doing their thing. And that's our goal. So I think the majority of people are coming for that reassurance of, hey, this is a nagging injury. it's going to go away if we do some things right or change some things. And sometimes we're a sounding board at times, right?
I mean,
he gave you one simple option. You tried a couple different things. Boom. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's it's a success story. You know, we don't have to take a person to the operating room to be happy about their outcome.
So you're saying when you do, that means that there's a good chance it was too late and you now have to almost do a little bit more work to preserve.
And there are some simple things that unfortunately there's no good fix for. I mean, if you've got a rotator cuff tear and if you want to be active and healthy and staying in the gym, a true full tear in your rotator cuff.
Yeah. I'm not following.
So we're way over his head here.
I'm not following.
But so there's certain things, and like a meniscus tear. We got you on board. You got the meniscus.
Oh, I follow that one.
See, there we
go.
So with a meniscus, there's if you're a young athlete, young player, or somebody that sits on the couch all day with a meniscus that hurts every time they get up, same story. I mean, that's going to keep bugging you. Let's take care of it.
So in the event that is you sitting at home thinking,
no, you have something you brought up.
Oh, yeah, my foot's jacked up. When I stand up, after sleeping, my middle two toes hurt.
There you go.
Why?
And is it just right as you put weight up onto the ball of your foot?
Yeah.
Do they get tingly?
Yeah.
There you go.
What do I have?
Probably got a little neuroma. There's a little nerve in there that's irritated.
I had neuroma.
I'll bring a needle next time. We'll inject you.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll do it right here.
All right. I'm excited. Let's go.
Here's a question.
But like that real, that's like... It always happens after I walk up a shit ton of stairs the next morning. It's like, oh, yep, walked a lot of stairs yesterday. Is that a real thing?
You might need to get a little wider shoe box here, something that's not so tight.
Is that what it is?
You got these skinny lady shoes. We got to watch them.
Actually, I have new shoes on the way, so I'll wear them next time. Nonetheless,
here's
all
a question.
Right, good. And I have a nice neuroma.
My whole life, I've heard older ladies say it. I've heard random uncle say it. What the hell is tennis elbow?
There you go.
I need to know.
I'll tell you all about it. I've been suffering from it. It's driving me totally bonkers.
So you don't have to play tennis to get.
So, I tell everybody. So the medical term for it is lateral epicondylitis.
That's why we don't use that.
Right. That's why nobody says it. And it's funny because tennis elbow. I would probably even argue 80% of people in my office that I see that have tennis elbow have never played tennis. So it's not the best name, but it's the name people hear. And you know. A guy plays golf, comes in, he's got tennis elbow. He's like, I'm not even playing the right sport. But it's
not
tendonitis.
Even good at golf.
You get the tendons that go down toward the wrist attach up just above the elbow. And if those tendons get inflamed, irritated, partially torn, there's a bunch of different types of problems that can happen with them. Right at that outer bone when you push on the outer part of your elbow, that's where they go. And if you're sore right there, you probably got tennis elbow. Be you a tennis player or not.
And so you said you're kind of going through it, right? So
what swinging a hammer in the operating room, I think.
So. Trying to break guys' bones.
I'm like Thor,
pinkies.
Except I just can't keep it up. It's just killing me.
I'm still,
you know.
Speaking of Thor, he also has the ability to pick up his hammer by just putting his hand out. I was unaware that the Golden Knight has that ability with his own sword.
I did not know that.
Question two. The hell are you leaving your sword outside of this random cave? Why don't you bring it inside?
What are you doing in that cave? You're taking a nap?
Why are you even in the cave?
Well, no, there's a
Do you not have a bed?
You can't bring swords in. You know?
And then what are the chances that cowboys are the ones the whole story is very confusing to me. I don't find it salty enough at all.
You don't have a... You don't have a bed, but you have a helicopter.
Sorry, Foley.
Yeah.
I don't like this one. And I'm ready for a change already. I don't like this one at all.
He said it took him a long time.
I don't like it.
They were proud of it.
I actually like his portion of it. He sounds like a badass in that helicopter. He's using all these military terms left and right. Right. How far is a click? I don't know. But whatever. Nonetheless, I do not like this new opening much at all. I really don't. The one part I do like is when the guys are like, they show the four players and they're like on the horses and everyone cheers. Like, that is good. And then there's the good moment where, like, the guy's wearing the thing.
I don't know if you noticed, they're doubles.
Well, of course they're body doubles.
Yeah, so people are concerned.
He can't even take face-offs. You think he's going to ride a horse?
Right.
So because I'm probably not nearly as good as giving your plug as you are, I'm going to let you give the plug. So someone's at home and they have, what did I have, neuropathy? What is it?
Neuroma.
Neuroma.
You got a neuroma.
I already forgot what I had. Yeah. So if you're me and you have neuroma, how do they get to you?
Hey, we're happy to take care of any and all of you that have got something you need figured out. I'm Caleb Pinneger. I'm the Vegas Sports Doc. You can find me either on Twitter at Vegas Sports Doc or at Crivetti Orthopedics. And the website to get to me is VegasSportsDoc.com. Happy to get you fixed up.
I think if you can't remember that, you got bigger problems.
What's your favorite injury?
What the hell kind of question is that?
No, sorry.
What's the best injury you've ever seen?
When you see it, like, what is the injury that you feel most confident knowing that this will come back 100%?
Sports injuries.
No. Every one of them. There's not a single one of my surgeries that doesn't come out 100%. But the other guys. I specialized in, like I told everybody, I worked with James Andrews in Florida, seeing a lot of professional athletes getting taken care of for him. What I took out of that was a specialty in shoulders, knees, and elbows. So in sports medicine, I mean, whether it be a labrum, dislocated shoulder, a rotator cuff, to be truthful, the shoulder is one of my favorite joints to work on. But otherwise, knee injuries, the full spectrum, and I still do a Tommy John surgery is not a common one. It's not one we're going to see or talk about much here in hockey. But if you got a young baseball player with a sore elbow, happy to take a look.
How much has it advanced since even the Dr. Andrews? I mean, Tommy John was what, early 80s? Is that like when it first?
Yeah, 70s. He had the first surgery.
So
and the
how much has it advanced?
So surprisingly, the technique overall is there are modifications to it that have advanced a lot with some of the technology. But the tried and true that you see a lot of these pitchers going through is pretty old.
They like pull a ligament from your leg?
It can be from the leg, can be from the wrist.
That's so wild. Who came up with that? Like James Andrews came up with that, right?
No, Frank Jobe came up with that surgery. He was at the Curlin Jobe Clinic, and James Andrews has been doing it for a long time. Total number of surgeries, whether him versus Frank Jobe, but it was created.
God, that's the most wild. I've never come up with something that anyone would ever think is brilliant. I can't imagine thinking like, why don't we take a ligament out of your leg and put it in your elbow. Yeah, it's like, going to be great.
How do they figure out that it won't injure that part? I'm fixing this, but I'm screwing your leg up.
And that's something that a good doctor should talk to the patient about. Because if you're a sprinter, you're not going to want to take certain ligaments. If you're a jumper, you're not going to want to take other ligaments. So there's lots to, but you try to take it from the area that's going to cause the least damage. So
and basically built on the athlete to a pitcher. He needs his legs.
Did you know that that's how Tommy John works?
Yeah, I knew something of
that. I was just at the wedding I went to in Austin, and the little sister of the groom. Sure. I always get them mixed up. I can never remember the word.
Pretty sure
not that I get them mixed up. I just can't remember the word. Groom just doesn't sound like a dude to me for some reason. I don't know. But whatever. So this little sister of the groom was a gymnast at Missouri, and she had it. And I was like, "Oh, where's the other scar?" And she looked at me like, "I'm like, how the hell do you know that?" I think it was on her leg. Where does it come from?
Hamstring.
Hamstring.
So you take it often when we're doing it on a baseball player. We'll take it from the opposite hamstring.
Interesting.
Oh, so not their strength leg that they need to push off of. Okay.
That's wild.
It is. It's just amazing. Like sports injuries to me, how doctors, you including, just get players back out there. Like. You always think, like the Hollis situation. You think it's, you know, career. It's going to hurt him forever.
We're going to end on this. There he is. If I were to tell you that you either had to have your Achilles slit with a knife or your kneecap ripped out of socket and stretchered off, which one would you take?
I'm taking the kneecap.
I'd have to agree with him.
I say fuck that.